What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant. Of course, they slant toward KU. How you doing, John?
Good, Bob. How you doing?
Doing well, and not as well as Kansas. They have turned this season around. They've won a couple in a row against two ranked teams, Iowa State, BYU. They have another ranked team. This will be the fourth straight game against a ranked team, Colorado visiting Arrowhead Stadium on Saturday. What's been the biggest factor in KU finally playing like we thought KU would play?
Well, I mean, Bob, listen, the first, four games, there's 10 turnovers. Okay, I mean, I can't remember how many interceptions Jalen Daniels has thrown. And going into the BYU game, in those next five games, they turned it over three times. So it was just a lot of unforced errors and just mistakes that were very – we didn't think this would happen with a team with 30 seniors back and an experienced quarterback. And, you know, there were some plays at the end of games that the defense didn't get a stop when they needed it. But, I mean, in five of those six losses, KU had the ball in their hands to either win or tie the game. Think about that. I'd love to know if there's a statistic out there that can ever backtrack and find that out when a team lost and had the ball in five of the six losses. And this is what this comes down to, Bob, and I told everybody this. During their losing streak, I said they're a good football team. They were – I mean, when you go back and look at the Arizona State game, who's a solid team? KU pushed Arizona State around, okay? Hey, KU let that game in Manhattan slip away. KU probably should have won that football game. They had West Virginia down 11 points with 4.5 minutes to go. You can look back over time and go and make an argument when you go back and watch film and go, I think Kansas was as good or the better team, but they're losing.
So, yeah, the luck has obviously turned around at KU. They're making their own luck. I wouldn't say the punt the other night against BYU was lucky, but they were certainly fortunate to recover that. And I've read all the quotes about it and seen, you know, how it kind of evolved over the course of the year. But for our listeners, what is kind of the evolution of that, the quarterback punt, and what was kind of the idea behind it? And what were people saying after it kind of worked in a way?
Well, hey, listen, I got to say that they did have some luck, right? I mean, for the first time all year, I kind of went, wow, the ball actually did bounce their way. I mean, it was fortunate that it bounces off the head of a BYU player. Then a BYU player, another player, tries to field the punt, and then he can't corral it. And Quentin Skinner, a wide receiver playing special teams, falls on it at the two-yard line. And that ended up being the game-winning play. So it's fourth and short. Okay, and they call timeout, and they decide, and from just little things that I'm picking up on, I think their thought was, let's go for it, okay? But during the timeout, they said, hold on, this has been a low-possession game. Teams' points aren't being put up like everybody thought they were. And Lance Leipold said, every Thursday at practice, they work on that pooch punt with Jalen Daniels. They work on it, every Thursday, and this was the day they finally decided, let's do it. Let's execute what we've been working on. And it came out and it worked in their favor.
Talking with John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant, KU now on a roll. They have Colorado coming in to Arrowhead Saturday afternoon. So, John, I took a philosophy class in college, one of the 300 or 400 classes I took to get out of college. And one of the things I think about with this KU team is, they might win the next two. They might go to a bowl game and win that and finish 7-6. But how will the season be remembered by the KU faithful if that happens?
Well, I think that they would look at it two ways. Number one, I think they'd look at it like, you know, listen, what a great job to keep these kids engaged. Because, Bob, listen, at some point in sports, when you keep losing all these games on the final play, the final drive, at the end of the game, it's human nature to start hanging your head, okay? And this team could have done that. So, I mean, there's some credit to the coaches and also to the 30 seniors on the team as well, but they stuck together. And they always went out and they played hard. They played with max effort. They never gave up. Okay, so I mean, if that happens, the scenario that you just put out, if that happens, I think KU fans are going to say, "Hey, what a great way to end the season." But there's also going to be this other line of thought that KU, before the season started, was ESPN's highest percentage team to be in the college football playoff. Okay, so if KU ends up continuing to play like they are and winning games, I think there's also going to be a lot of what if, you know, why did this team take this long to kind of get warmed up and play like they were supposed to play? But I'll tell you this right now, and I said this earlier this week, KU is the team in the Big 12 right now that nobody wants to play. I just got off the phone with the Colorado analyst for our podcast that we do, and he just said, hey, the people here at Colorado, they know this is a scary game. The people at BYU knew KU was a scary game. Iowa State brings down the number one statistic defense to Arrowhead. KU puts up 45 points and 520 yards. KU right now, there's an argument to say Colorado and KU this weekend, those are the two teams playing the best football in the Big 12 right now.
Yeah, you talked about points being at a premium in the BYU game. Is there a scenario that you see where KU Colorado is low scoring? And if not, how does the defense account for all the weapons that Colorado has? And can, on the other side, the offense keep up with that?
Well, that's going to be the million-dollar question. Now, listen, I predicted in my write-up before the BYU game, I had KU winning 31-28. I went with the mild upset, but I thought it was going to take 30 points to win that game. I mean, you could have never told me that game was going to be sitting there in the teens. I don't see any way this Colorado game is like that. Well, let's put it this way. I mean, KU probably hopes it is, because that would favor KU. I think the higher the score goes, it might slightly favor Colorado. Now, here's the one thing KU's got. I mean, Colorado's got some weapons. But KU does have Kobe Bryant, Melo Dotson, probably, maybe. I mean, that's probably the best corner tandem in the Big 12 right there. So they've got guys who can cover. And the secondary has started to play better football. I mean, they made some nice plays, and their safeties were probably the most active last week that they've been all year. But they're going to have to find a way to pressure Sanders. I mean, you watch him. I mean, he moves around well. He's got such a great feel. He's got guys to throw the ball to. And I just don't know that you can let him sit back there and have time. But then when you watch him against Kansas State, they just brought all-out blitzes against him all the time, and he still threw for 390 yards. So, I mean, I think you've got to figure out a way to kind of pick your poison, when to change, you know, when to bring pressure, when not. Because I think if you just do it all the time, you know, you get 400 yards on you.
Good stuff. We're talking with John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant. I've been a big Devin Neal fan for a long time. I think he's going to be a fantastic player at the next level. He's a tremendous college running back. The guy that's really grown on me is Luke Grimm. And I want to get your thoughts on what his ceiling is, because he has been so steady as a KU player in his entire career, and he's really, really shining right now. I really like him. What do you think Luke Grimm's going to do at the next level?
You know, Bob, I really don't know. Listen, I was at the camp when they decided that the KU coaches, when he was a high school senior, They were trying to decide at the camp. They said, do we offer him or not? And I remember there was debate because he even worked out as a defensive back at camp. And I remember seriously just standing by those Kansas coaches, and they were just contemplating, can this kid play here? Can he play at this level? Well, I think he's answered that question. So I think some of that goes to the NFL as you look at the next level. The whole thing's going to be, can he play there, right? People are going to say, does he have the speed to separate? People are going to say, is he doing well right now at KU because he's in a really good offensive system that's diverse and it gets receivers open? And when you play Kansas, you've also got to be ready for Devin Neal. You've got to be ready for Jalen Daniels in the run game, the option. And some people might say Luke Grimm's a product of the system, but all that kid does is make plays. I mean, every time it's third and eight and Kansas converts, it's Luke Grimm making the play. So I'm one of those guys. I'm sure people are going to question top-end speed and can he get open, but he's done it for 4 years.
He just has that feel about him that you take a flyer on him. He's not going to be a first-round pick, but the team that decides to take that flyer, I just have a feeling they're going to be glad they did. So what's your prediction on
I got one question.
What's your prediction on Saturday's game? And then Jeff will ask you a question.
Okay.
Yeah, I like KU here. And again, I think right now that there's going to be an argument to be made that I'm not so sure Kansas isn't the best team in the Big 12 right now. We'll get that answer on Saturday. Okay? If they beat Colorado, then I think they could probably lay claim to that, because you have beaten Iowa State, BYU, and Colorado three consecutive weeks. Beat BYU on the road, beat Iowa State up. I mean, they made Iowa State's defense look like they didn't have any idea what they were doing on the field. I just think right now, somebody told me they were out in Provo, and they saw the team after the game. They were getting on the bus, and they said you could just see the confidence, and these kids realized they've got some of that swagger back. And I think it's going to be an entertaining game. It's going to be a fun game. I think there's going to be a good crowd. Everybody wants to see Colorado play. I think KU's going to find a way to win a close game in this one.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you about the future of Jalen Daniels. Do you think he's a change of scenery candidate after 5 years in the program? Is that a possibility? And if not, what does a Jalen Daniels-led KU football team look like next year with all these seniors leaving?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's something that's been talked about the fan base. And, guys, we're in the age of the portal, okay? And Jalen Daniels has also had several years in college, so he may be – I'm sure he's talking to NFL draft people saying, where am I at? Where do you see me? And if people are saying, hey, you're on draft boards, we don't know where you're going to go, but we think you're going to go somewhere, I could absolutely see that being an option. I'll tell you what else could be an option, too. He's starting to play – and starting to look like everybody thought he would going into the season. And I sit here and I watch teams like Michigan and USC and Florida State, and I see some of these guys, and I'm going, boy, Jalen Daniels, I could see some of those coaches going, hey, let's find a way to put an NIL package together for that. That's just the age that we're in right now. So I don't know what the future holds, because I think the NFL is still a possibility. And I do think in this day and age where everybody has an agent now, the college kids all have agents and they come after you. Yeah, I wouldn't bet on anything right now.
John, we always appreciate your insight. Good to talk with you. Big game, another one for KU coming up Saturday against Colorado. We'll catch you down the road. Thanks again.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.